Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Are you ready for frequent flyer television? SATOR, that's S-A-T-O-R, believes you are. This venture's aim, the more TV you watch and interact with, the more rewards you get. Get up close with this possible game-altering effort when co-founders Satoru Nakamoto and Isla Pareto join me next in an internet radio exclusive. Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Enterprise is taking a deeper TV dive lately, with the new series Lift Comics and Die Hard getting a second life on Roku. We'll learn more later this hour from LOL development head Candace Wilson-Cherry. And one Tribeca Film Festival short subject playing this week is in play to morph into a television series. We'll have the dish on Surface Person next hour from creative producer and editor Alex Snell. Also ahead, our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two and a special Prime Day offer when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this program. Great to have you with us for a special 90-minute Wednesday episode of the program about TV's current and future. We think we have a blockbuster one for you, and we can get right into it. So if you have a question or comment for any of our guests you hear, make that call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. If you're shy about the phone, no problem. Use our chat room. We welcome Pine Needle already into the room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Satoru Nakamoto and Isla Pareto will join us live here in the Big Apple after these news note quickies. Hollywood Kids, one of Jackie Collins' most popular books, will be adapted as a scripted drama series by actor, producer, director Jason Priestley. Starting this week, Disney Plus will make Wednesdays launch days for all original series. Made-for-TV movies will continue to premiere on Fridays. Keen Miss America writer April Shuh and her new venture, Diversity Hire Limited, will develop new TV content in collaboration with FX Productions. Former Sundance episode lab fellow, she is working on prospective FX series Love Rule and has projects going on at Warner Brothers Television and Paramount TV Studios. And the annual ESPY Awards is set to play on ABC July 10th. Anthony Mackie will host, and Capital One will be the presenting advertiser. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from New York in an internet radio exclusive, the co-founders of what may be one of the most unique adventures you will hear about on television this year, SATOR, that's spelled S-A-T-O-R, Satoru Nakamoto and Isla Pareto. Satoru and Isla, welcome to our program.
Hi, thank you so much.
Great to be here.
It is a pleasure. Satoru, we'll start with you. What is SATOR?
SATOR is the decentralized application with a native utility token that diffuses value across the television ecosystem and aligns interests of everyone involved in television, viewers and distributors.
And Isla, what is the timeline for reaching viewers with this venture?
So we expect to see huge disruption in television and the broader content creator space using blockchain, which is super exciting. Our platform is completely decentralized, as my co-founder Satoru mentioned, and by doing so and by decentralizing all of this value, we're able to align the interests of all participants throughout the television ecosystem. Timeline-wise, we are releasing our first version of the product this summer, so you can expect our beta launch coming around August time, which we're super excited about.
Satoru, how did you and Isla and your crew come up with this idea? I mentioned in the tease it sort of may be the equivalent of frequent flyer television, where the more programming you watch and how you interact with it, the more rewards you get. Is that a fair assessment of what this is all about.
Absolutely, yes. Well, we look at the world and ask the question, how can it be more democratic and decentralized? Because we believe these are positive forces. And we looked at two things that we loved, television and blockchain technology, and we studied and researched how blockchain could improve the television industry for everyone that is involved in that ecosystem. And so with a lot of vision and technical talent, we built this concept and are now building the product that will allow viewers to participate for the first time in the value that they create by watching their favorite TV shows. And it will reward the TV shows that democratize some of their value to their viewers with greater viewership and greater subscribership. So we're really excited about it. And I guess it's hard to answer the question how it came to us. It's sort of, how do any ideas come about? You know, it was thinking, you know, dreaming, and a lot of hard work that we're still right in the middle of.
And it sounds, Isla, like you're doing two things. A, you're upending the current television system or ecosystem as we know it. But the other thing is that you may be giving new television series by new creators, no matter where they come from, an opportunity not only to get on the air, to get to viewers, but also for viewers to be rewarded for giving them a chance.
That's exactly correct. And I'm really happy that you brought that up and say that in that way, because we are really super an ambitious project for two reasons, because we're tackling two different industries and bringing them together in a brand new way that we haven't seen before. So we're taking television, which is, I mean, how do you, and I guess we're asking the question, how do we disrupt TV? And we found that through blockchain technology, we are able to do that and give content creators the space to not only promote their shows in a new way, but then touch audience in an entirely new way. So we're super excited about that.
Mm-hmm. So, Torio, what has been the reaction from, A, the places where you could distribute this venture, namely smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and, B, the creative community, whether it is existing players, new players, people who have shows on the air, or people who want to get shows on the air?
Yes, from the television community, the reception so far has been quite positive. They're very excited to learn how blockchain technology can help their success as well. To be clear, SATR does not actually air television shows. SATR is what you would open on your mobile device as you're watching television on your favorite networks and watching your favorite shows. So it can help series grow viewership and subscribership, whether they're new or already out there. And the response has been really, really exciting. SATR has been invited to be a part of NAPFE, the National Association of Television Production Executives, and we're very excited about that partnership and the caliber of television executives and decision makers and leaders in global television that we'll be able to partner with at NAPFE. So we're excited that SATR is able to work with all of the existing networks, all of the existing television shows, and yes, new shows. And we hope that it inspires new creativity, that all of these different television distributors can look at how NFTs could be a part of the television experience for their audiences. And SATR is really a turnkey solution for creating awesome NFTs about a series and making the NFT experience relevant to the TV viewing experience. So yeah, it's really exciting. We're just getting started.
Yeah. And Isla, you mentioned smartphone, but let's keep in mind the fact that 80%+ of all U.S. households now have a smart TV set of smart TV devices, and that's how they're watching television programming, whether it is interactive or not. And also the fact that you now have more and more of these smart TV sets and devices give you the opportunity to control the set with your voice, because they built in artificial intelligence and augmented reality. They built in Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, these voice features that allow you to control the set and what you do with it.
Exactly, and people are also using their smartphones to find TV shows to watch. And what's pretty ironic is we have all these streaming services out there without the best recommender systems that are up to par with, say, like the advancements we've made in artificial intelligence as a nation. And I think back to just viewership engagement and TV metrics, when it comes to TV metrics, because we're using blockchain, it essentially gives us this ability to provide viewing metrics and seeing what people like, what they dislike, what they engage with, what they stick to watching in a very transparent way. So content creators can consume those metrics and then verify they're real because of blockchain. So it's kind of like this proof of verification consensus model that we're building. And we also are building a recommender system that then can learn from that interaction and apply machine learning and sentiment analysis to recommend shows to similar users.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Sator. That's S-A-T-O-R. It's a brand-new programming venture that hopes to go into beta this summer and by the end of this year be around, maybe on a smart TV set or device near you. And we are talking with the two key people behind this venture, Satoru Nakamura and Ayla Perfido. They're both joining us live here in New York this half hour in an interradio-exclusive interview here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Abba with you live from New York. We want to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This is the second of three episodes of our show that we're doing this week. We have one more coming your way for you on Friday, and it's a good one. The former head of Walt Disney, Mike Eisner, is backing a brand-new venture that is also starting this summer. It's called Strum, and it's a way to get very unique content on your smart TV set or smart TV device and use a credit system to get it and use it. We will talk to two of the key co-founders, Chief Executive Officer Lauren DeVilliers and Chief Business Officer Paul Pastor. And then we will talk about a new television series premiering next week after next, or I should say next week, that was going to be on Hulu. Now it's going on Disney Plus, and it's called The Mysterious Bennett Society. You'll meet the creative executive producers, Matt Manfredi and Phil Hay, both Friday, right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Satoru, let's walk through the process of how this would work, okay? I turn on my television set, I see a show, and how do I interact with it to get rewarded?
Exactly. You turn on your favorite show. Let's say pick a show. Simon, what's your favorite show?
Let's say The Queen's Gambit.
Okay, so you turn on The Queen's Gambit. You open your Sator app. And you select Queen's Gambit. You go into the realm in the Sator app for Queen's Gambit, and you engage in things that are interesting to you, maybe a puzzle or trivia, or you screenshot, and you earn Sator tokens within the app for doing these different engagements. You may earn Sator tokens. You may earn NFTs. You may decide you want more NFTs of that series, and then you can also display them and sort of show them off within your Sator profile. You may compete for rankings, so when you are answering some of the puzzles regarding Queen's Gambit, you're competing against other viewers, and the episode that you're watching opens into a realm that you have for just a limited amount of time to interact with other viewers watching that same episode. And when that window closes, then you can move on to the next episode. And so in this way, you have a fun, relevant engagement. You're getting rewarded, and it's sharing some of the value back to you that you create by engaging in your favorite TV show. So that's how that works.
I have another interactive question, but first we have a phone person who wants to interact with us. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Maria. I'm calling from New Jersey. I'm working remotely, and I was highly interested in, you know, everything you all are talking about. I had one question, though. When would the beta version be available?
The beta version is scheduled to come out in August. And hi, Maria. Thank you for your interest.
great. I'm looking forward to that because I'm really interested in this entire thing that you're describing. Sounds wonderful. I want to tell more people about it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Maria, before you go, I have a question for you. What TV show would you, that you're currently watching, what would you watch this way and interact with?
I'm not sure. I have a couple of favorites. I think Friends is one of my favorites. I'm watching a lot of the reruns on Friends. Some of Netflix shows and some shows on HBO Max. I can't just name one, but Friends, I've watched the reunion, and I know that they have those episodes on replay and different networks, so Friends would probably be one of the ones I'd like to see with this interactive games.
Great. It's Maria from New Jersey, thanks for making the call. Have a great day now. Maria from New Jersey joining us right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Isla, when I saw your website, there was a suggestion that one of the interactive opportunities with Satir was the ability to interact more with the content of the program, to maybe have a say in which way the program or the episode goes. Am I reading that right?
Yes, you are. And we are precisely going to do this through NFTs, which for anyone who isn't familiar, NFTs are non-fungible tokens. You can think of them as unique digital pieces of art or gifts that are yours and completely cryptographically unique. So using NFTs, if a character or if audience earns a certain NFT, they can then influence certain plot decisions in the show that the content creator kind of like curates and decides for them. So we were already discussing romance a character NFTs or murder a character NFTs, and essentially, if you hold that NFT, you then have an influence over what happens in future episodes or future seasons.
Mm-hmm. So, Torio, two things on the financial side. First of all, who's backing you in terms of investors, of venture capitalists, things like that? And secondly, how does your venture make money?
Yeah, of course. Our partners and investors, we couldn't be more proud to be in business with. They are just some of the most influential, hardworking, successful investors in the crypto space. Our investors include Digital Strategies, Pet Rock Capital, FOMOCraft Ventures, Double Peak, Axia 8 Ventures, Ferrum Network, CMT Digital, SMO Capital, Momentum 6, Genesis Block Ventures, Crypital Group, Faculty Capital. We just couldn't be more excited, and there's several more that escape me at the moment. Satir, as a decentralized organization, it creates a value that is captured in the form of a utility token that is held by everyone that's a part of the Satir community. And so what we're building towards is we add additional utilities, additional features that can be accessed with the Satir token within the Satir platform. And so as the value of the Satir community grows, thanks to everyone that's a part of the Satir community, everyone holding the Satir utility token benefits from that. It's a typical decentralized model. So we're very excited where our community is already and at its growth and potential for the future.
Satir is the subject of our first half hour of this 90-minute edition Wednesday of this June 2021 here on Tomorrow Be Televised, and we've got the two key people involved with this venture, Satoru Nakamoto and Isla Perfida. Isla, by the way, is also the chief executive officer of this enterprise. And they're both with us live from New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you are with us, too, wherever you may be, on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Simon App. I'm here with you from New York, 76th Street, top of the hour. If you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with our duo, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04, my name. Coming up in our next half hour, Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud enterprise is making some TV waves in a number of different ways. We'll talk about that with one of its key executives, Candace Wilson-Cherry, out of Los Angeles. And then we're going to showcase a Tribeca Film Festival short subject that you can see this week, including here in New York in person, that is also being developed as a television series. It's called Circus Person. and we'll speak with one of the key people behind that venture. She's the creative producer and editor, Alex Nell, joining us live from New York, Brooklyn specifically. That's all coming up. And also, our classic trivia question of the week. Stay tuned. You could be our second weekly winner in a row and win a Shark Week 2021 pocketbook from Discovery, Inc. So stay tuned. You could be our winner if you get the question in before anyone else does. Isla, one of the things that we are seeing is a lot of resurgence in TV ventures that are using blockchain and cryptocurrency to either get on the air or to help other creative people get on the air. And yesterday we had the big news from Fox that said we are forming this blockchain creative labs venture with Benobox Entertainment, the animation studio that we operate. We're going to be doing this animated series that Dan Harmon Community is doing. We're going to use NFTs. We're also going to set up a $100 million content fund. Do you think that 3.5 years after this was first started, the gelled idea, and fortunately did not happen, that this whole idea of blockchain and cryptocurrency to television is finally legit?
I mean, I think it's the perfect use case. And what really sets Satter apart, though, is the fact that we're creating and curating this social ecosystem, almost in a similar way that Twitch does. So no one's live streaming, but you can think of us as a social platform with a social utility token that engages users through television. And we are going to also look into expanding from just scripted series in the future and coming up with unique ways to participate, whether that's through VR experience or even using SAO to onboard into streaming service memberships, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Satorio, what do you see as the long-term impact of blockchain and cryptocurrency and NFTs on what television gets produced? How interactive does television get to the viewer? And maybe getting other ventures started that bring other technologies like augmented reality, for example, to the television set.
Blockchain is going to change television. It already is changing it as much as streaming and internet did. These were all major shifts, and it took time. And it affected the industry, the same way blockchain is going to affect it. Some existing players were able to adapt and get ahead. New players were able to come in and create new niches for themselves. And the industry, it's not that it's unrecognizable after this sort of technological innovation, but it becomes something quite different. And, it's television is a business. It's a competitive landscape. If you figure out how to implement blockchain technology the right way, for instance, partnering with Satter and activating television series there, you're going to have an advantage over competition that maybe doesn't implement in time and gets competed away. So I think these are shifts you see going on. There's an education process. We're really excited to be building this technology for mainstream global television industry because there's been such great applications of it in user-generated content and many other, tangential related applications to content, but we will be the first that really bridges mainstream global television with blockchain technology use case. So we just couldn't be more excited. It's a huge change that's going on right now, and we're excited to be a part of it.
Alan, you mentioned there's this new relationship with NAPI, that's the TV Programming Trade Association. When does that kick in, and how are they going to showcase you, not just in the near term, but in the long term?
Yeah, we are, we're long-term thinkers, so when we get involved in partnerships, we always build them to be really meaningful, and obviously Satter is positioning itself to be a meaningful contributor to the television community globally and long-term, and so we obviously respect these long-standing organizations like NAPI and MIPCOM and many others like it. And so we're bringing value in terms of programming some of their major summits and conferences. So we'll be sharing some blockchain 101, how the technology works and use cases at their major conferences. So SATR is kicking off in Budapest, Hungary, with NAPV late in August, just as, you know, in a small presence there with the founders being there. And then in September, SATR will be delivering a presentation to their conference, their streaming conference in Hollywood, where they have incredible network leaders also speaking. So we're really excited to be a part of that. And then we plan to also have a larger footprint at their major marketplace and exhibit at their January event in Miami. So, and then we'll just continue from there. We plan to remain a part of that community for as long as SATR is around, because those are going to be a lot of our important partners in terms of television.
Victoria and Iowa, what's it been like for both of you to bring this grand, unique, blockbuster, you could say universe-shattering television vision to life, and what you've had to deal with to make it happen?
It has been a fantastic, like the most fun roller coaster you could imagine being on. Entrepreneurship is just something I've always cared about, so it's really been a dream come true bringing two worlds together that I'm so passionate about, in this case, television and blockchain.
I would add also just a lot of skipping sleep, working across many time zones. It's a fast pace and it's a lot of fun.
Again, the name of the venture is SATR, S-A-T-O-R, and if you want more details about how it is going and when it will finally come to you through a smart TV set or smart TV device, here's where you go online, SATR, SATOR.io. That's SATR, SATORIO. I've seen the website. I think you're going to be stunned by what this venture is all about and what it is going to do. Once again, it's SATR, SATOR.io. Satoru Nakamoto, Iowa Perfido, thank you folks very much for coming aboard and doing one of your first interviews, by the way, on a national radio, worldwide radio television program with us. We're definitely going to follow what you do. Hopefully, presentation in New York, now that we're getting back to being in person in this Big Apple and the New York State, hopefully down the road. It has been a real honor and a pleasure to have you both with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Simon. It's been a pleasure.
You're very, very welcome to both of you. All the very best. Take care.
Bye.
Satoru Nakamoto and Iola Perfido joining us live here in New York exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. More of our program coming up, but first we have some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. You know, it's Prime Day, and guess what? If you get involved with Audible.com today, not only have an opportunity to get a one-month trial, but also the opportunity to, if you subscribe, get more than half off your first 4 months. How? For all details, you go to audibletrial.com/televised. And one of the books you can get in the trial is one of the classics of science fiction, Frank Herbert's Dune. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and this is on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, iTunes, Verbal, of course, the iRadio Podcast Network, and more. So all you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And if you're already an Amazon Prime member, great fortune for you. You get two audiobooks for the price of one, including one from the great catalog and growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, great woman and one-man performance. And again, if you sign up during Prime Day, which I believe is today, you will get half off on your first 4 months. Great savings for you or someone you love. And don't forget, Audible.com makes a great gift, too, for someone you love any time of the year. For all details, audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up next, Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud is getting loud and proud in the world of television. And we've got a key executive from there telling you how. Candace Wilson-Cherry joins me from Los Angeles after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. If you have the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home for In Her Shoes, a very unusual program for women and men and all of us human beings on the face of the earth. Check out In Her Shoes Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of ETR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of this 90-minute special edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming away on this midweek of June 2021. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. Good to have you aboard. 76 degrees at the top of the hour. More great guests coming for you this hour ahead. And get involved in the conversation. We appreciate it. All you got to do is ring in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name, Pine Needle, still in the room. Back in 1958, two men named Mort Green and George Forster had a very interesting idea for a game show, and a very simple one at that. The idea? Have contestants and see if they could withstand the humor of three comedians one at a time. The comedian's goal? Make them laugh. And that's how Make Me Laugh was born. It originally ran for the summer of 1958 on ABC, hosted by Robert Q. Lewis. And in 1979, Paramount Television revived the idea with George Forster at the helm and Bobby Vann as the host. The show is very popular 5 days a week or five nights a week, depending on where you are. Here in New York, it was on WPX-TV Channel 11. And it would have run longer had it not been for the fact that late in 1979, Bobby Vann developed brain cancer. He passed away 5 months after the last episodes in February 1980. And in the 1990s, the show was revived for two seasons on Comedy Central. Well, now, thanks to Kevin Hart's production company, Laugh Out Loud, there is, you might say, a very contemporary spin on Make Me Laugh, but this time, it's not in a studio, it's on the road, if you will, with comedians posing as Lyft drivers. The show is called Lyft Comics. It premiered earlier this month on Peacock, Pluto TV, Tubi, Roku, Vizio, and other smart TV sets, devices, and programming services. Here to talk about that show and what else is in the TV hopper at Laugh Out Loud is its head of development and production, Candace Wilson-Cherry. Candace, thanks for coming aboard, and let's get you aboard. And let's see. There you are. Candace, welcome
in. Hi there. Hi, thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you. Before we get into Lyft Comics, let me ask you, what do you think about this idea of blockchain, cryptocurrency, helping to get new TV series and ventures off the ground?
You know, I think it's really interesting. You know, there's, with everything sort of changing so rapidly, it gives creators, content creators, filmmakers, just more opportunity and ways to finance their projects, which then puts the power back into the hands of the content creators. So, which is also just in line even in terms of the expanding distribution platforms even available to creators. It's not the traditional days or the old days of, you know, the gatekeepers having the keys to financing and distribution and all these different things. Now it sort of puts it back into the hands of the folks creating it. So, you know, I think it's very interesting.
And now that Fox has, in a way, legitimize things by forming this blockchain creative labs venture with Bentobox Entertainment. They've got the Dan Harmon project, animated project set to go doing this way, and this $100 million content fund for creators. Is this something that Kevin Hart and Laugh Out Loud, your company, might look at seriously as a way to fund new projects or market and promote them?
You never know. It's definitely interesting, and it's something for us to look into and see if it could be a good fit. You never know.
All right, let's get to Lyft Comics. How is it doing? And what was Make Me Laugh an inspiration for this?
I wouldn't say that was an inspiration for it, but, you know, I think these sort of formats are just great. You know, they really sort of test the chops of the comedians. We were really excited when we paired up with Wheelhouse's Spoke Studios and Lyft on this one. And the comedians loved it. You know, they loved the idea of going undercover, for lack of a better, you know, word, and just testing out their material on their passengers. So it was a lot of fun, and they loved it, and we have some great episodes, some great binge-worthy episodes from it.
And how does this competition work?
So basically, you have up-and-coming comedians that go head-to-head in a competition that takes the comedy show on the road, so they're in the cars, and you have our comedian who's driving, the passenger, and they're basically trying out their material on these, like, unsuspecting passengers. And the goal is to get them to laugh. So at the end of the ride, when they're done with the ride, the producer kind of comes out and explains to the passenger that their driver was actually a comedian. And from there, they get to rate them. And at the end of a series of drives, they get rated and the winner wins. So that's how it works. But it's a lot of fun. And we're really excited to just see the new emerging talent that came out of this process. And those are relationships that are really important for us when it comes to nurturing and looking at new voices from new shows, new projects moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Was it a hard sell to get Lyft to go along with, let's say, the gag?
No, not at all. Yeah, we've worked with Lyft previously. We've worked with them previously, and they've always been great partners for us. And it's something that we collaborated on. We worked through the creative together. We discussed it together along with our partners at Wheelhouse and Spoke. And we fleshed out the concept, the mechanics of how things would work, and they were 100% on board. And it came together really well.
What's very interesting about this series is how it's being distributed. In a way, it's sort of like smart TV syndication because you're covering a lot of bases. You're covering a mega content service like Peacock. You're covering multi-channel bundles like Pluto TV and Tubi. And you're also covering the devices themselves or the sets themselves through Roku, Vizio, and other players. Was it very easy to pull everybody together to take this show? And this is the first time that Laugh Out Loud has done an arrangement like this.
Well, we have our OTT network, and the channels that you mentioned are all sort of part of that. So we distribute on all those platforms. So this sort of falls into that model. So it wasn't a matter of going out and pitching the show to all these different platforms. It's really a part of our LOL network. And we, you know, that's something that's really important to us. Like, we're currently focused on sort of building out our OTT platforms. As example, you know, Die Hard is on Roku. Like, that's also part of the OTT platforms. So, I wouldn't say it wasn't a hard sell. It wasn't really a sell at all. It was, you know, bringing it to our partners and finding a home for it. And bringing it to your audience
now,
in a different place, I think. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Candace. I'm sorry.
No, I think it puts the power back into the consumer as well. I think with people consuming content so many different ways and so many different places these days, I'm sure, like, you know, myself, you probably see a new platform popping up every day, right? So, you know, having a partnership like this allows us to also, in addition to helping to monetize, it also helps us to reach our audiences where they are.
How long has this network been operating for? Because it sounds like you've had this for a while. What's it been like to pull the parts together? And is it a 24-hour service? Is it on whenever you have a new show on? How does it work? How does the ad hoc work?
In terms of when it's, I'm sorry, in terms of like when it's like playing on like Pluto, and because it's basically programmed. So basically it becomes another distribution hub. So it's not like a channel per se. If you're thinking of it like in a traditional like broadcast channel standpoint, it's more of an on-demand. It's an on-demand thing, or you're catching it on Pluto during, you know, when it's scheduled.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Candace Wilson-Cherry. She's the head of development and production at Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud production venture, which is getting more and more involved with television, including this new series, Lyft Comics, which started earlier this month, and a show that originally had been for QB called Die Hard, is now one of the first Roku originals, and it's the first Roku original to be renewed. We're going to talk about that shortly. If you have a question or comment from Candace, who joins me here from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart Be Televised, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up on our next episode, Friday, this very hour, we'll talk to the people behind the new venture, Strum. It's the newest venture from the former head of Walt Disney, Michael Eisner, one of his key investors. The whole idea, it's a smart TV television service, bring you some of the more interesting shows on your smart TV set of devices that are not content-oriented, and you'd use credits to make the service happen. We will talk to the co-founders, Lorraine Devilliers and Paul Pastor. Lorraine is, by the way, the chief executive officer, and Paul is the chief business officer. And then we'll talk to the people behind the brand-new Disney Plus series, The Mysterious Bendix Society, that premieres next week. Creative executive producers Matt and Freddie and Phil Hay. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Candace, let's talk about Die Hard. When QB folded, was there a concern that it was not going to find another home? And how did Roku get into the picture?
No, in terms of, you know, when Quibi folded, like, they were, listen, they were great partners. We had a really great time working with them. We made some super quick pivots. You know, we finished production on that project right as the pandemic was hitting, and we made a quick pivot in post-production to be able to deliver on time. So really good experience in terms of the production and the rollout of it. Of when Quibi made the transition, you know, out, and we weren't sure what was going to be next for Die Hard, you know, we had people that were interested in the project before, like around that same time. So in terms of wondering if it was going to find a home, I think we were all pretty hopeful, like, you know, hopeful and confident that it would find a home because, A, you've got a great cast. They did a great job. It's a fun project, very easily digestible. And, yeah, we had interest. So the Roku team, they had been in talks with Jeff Flanagan, our CEO, and the transition happened pretty seamlessly. So, and they've been great partners, and I'm sure you saw recently they just announced that we'll be back for season two, which we're thrilled about.
Mm-hmm. And before we get into the season two and what's going to happen with it, for people who have not seen Die Hard, did not subscribe, which were a lot of people, to QB or QBuy, what is Die Hard all about? What kind of a show is it?
Yeah, so Die Hard is an action comedy. It's an action comedy. Obviously, the take, you know, it's Kevin Hart playing himself, and he essentially wants to be an action star, right? And he wants to be an action star, and he goes to this school that basically is renowned for making all of the big action heroes that you see in films, and that school is ran by Ron Wilcox, played by John Travolta, who was an absolute pro in this. He was so great. Like, he showed up, he played ball, he was wonderful to work with. And essentially throughout the series, along with like Natalie Emmanuel from Game of Thrones and who's doing tons of other work, Jean Reno, Josh Hartnett made an appearance as well. We sort of go on this road with Kevin while he is trying to become an action star, not realizing that there's a bit that he's not in on. So there's a whole sort of sub thing going on where things get very real and he thinks it's very real. But you have to kind of tune in to check it out. But it's a fun project.
Mm-hmm. Now, Quibi, QB, however you want to pronounce it, the whole idea of this was that this would be programs that would run in 8 to 10 minute chunks. I'm curious, when the show was formulated, and you have to formulate your writing and the directing and so forth, what was it like to produce it in sort of this short subject style of 8 to 10 minutes at a stretch?
Yeah, it was actually really interesting because we had conceptualized it originally, always wanting it to be able to have the ability to read and play as a feature, right? Like if you were to do a cut of this that could play as a feature, we'd want it to still have that sort of that feeling. But obviously the challenge with the Quibi model is like you're looking at 10 by 10. So 10 episodes of 10 minutes of content is basically where we netted out with the series. So you basically have to just rearrange your act breaks. It's like your story arcs come at different points, and we just had to sort of restructure it a bit. So that was the biggest challenge. And then obviously, you know, when you're dealing with those like 10 by 10s, you also have to sort of get in there fast and you have to capture your audience's attention much quicker. You have a lot more time if you're watching a feature or even a traditional, you know, episodic 30-minute format. You know, you have a little bit more time to sort of introduce your audience to your characters, to your plot, all of those different things, where when you have 10 minutes, really you've got seconds. You've got seconds. You've got seconds to get in there with a cold opening, capture their attention, and hopefully retain them enough to watch another 9. So that is a challenge. You have to be a lot more concise in terms of your storytelling in each episode, leaving people wanting more, you know. So it's a bit of a cliffhanger. Every episode is a bit of a cliffhanger, where that's not always the case when you're doing traditional TV. You know, you don't have that same sort of need. Because I think also going back to how people are consuming it, when you're watching it on, you know, Quibi envisions the shows to be watched on their mobile devices. And I think inherently when people are watching on their mobile device versus when you're like nestled in on your couch, you know, for some like, you know, relaxing TV time, you're more inclined when watching on your phone to want to tune out. Like if it loses your attention, you're kind of out of there, right? So it's about capturing their attention quickly and retaining it enough to have them continue watching. And we brought that approach to, you know, see each of the episodes, and we had fun with it. It's a great team. It was a really great team that put this together.
Mm-hmm. Some critics believe that one of the reasons why Quibi fell through was that this venture should have been both a mobile phone venture and a smart TV venture, because you have, as I mentioned in the previous segment, you have more than 8% of U.S. households now have these products. They're watching tens of billions of hours of content and apps a month. And, by the way, some of those popular shows are short subjects. In fact, there are several smart TV programming services that are composed, like Shorts TV, that are composed of short subjects, arranged by genre or arranged hodgepodge, whatever. Do you think it was a mistake for Quibi to avoid smart TV sets until the last minute, and at that time it was bye, we had to pull the plug?
Yeah, you know, it's so hard to even call it. It's like one of those things where hindsight is 20/20, right? And then also they dealt with a bit of a timing issue. You know, you went from a situation where people were actively moving around to literally when they launched, people were now at home. And to your point, you know, people were working with a TV in their background, or where that would have probably been the preferred way or method to watch something like this, you know. But it's like hindsight's 20/20. Like, how would they have known possibly when they were going into it? Because as you know, even though they launched at that time, planning happens months and months in advance, and obviously pivots need to be made. But yeah, it's so hard to call it. You know, I feel like it's a combination of things. It's timing. It's, you know, you swing big, you hit big, or you miss big sometimes. So who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's fast forward now. Now Roku is in the original programming content-making game because they've picked up the Quibi or Quibi. Everybody has a way of saying that name. You know, it's like to each his own, if you will.
Yeah.
But anyway, Roku is now in the original content business thanks to this deal where they have a lot of the product. And now Die Hard is the first of the Quibi shows to get a second season. Because you're now on Roku, do you reconfigure the show to make it a 20, 30-minute episode per episode, minute per episode show? Do you stay with the 10-minute format? What's the feeling going into beginning pre-production on second season?
Yeah, it's an evolving conversation that we're having with our partners at Roku. You know, we're just trying to figuring out what's going to make the most sense for their platform and for their, you know, for their viewers. And that's really going to drive it. It hasn't really been determined yet. But at minimum, you know, likely it's still going to be under 30 minutes, no matter how you slice it per episode. But in terms of like actual runtime per episode, we're not sure yet. Will likely still continue in terms of like the way our acts are structured for the most part will likely be similar to it was for season one. But we'll likely have a little bit more wiggle room in terms of, you know, getting in there, setting up the story and that whole bit. It won't be as, you know, strict in terms of time restraints, but it's still TBD, evolving.
We're speaking with Candace Wilson-Cherry. She is head of development and production for Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud venture, which is getting more and more into television as we speak, such as Die Hard on Roku as part of their expanding Roku Originals franchise, and they're going into a second season, which I understand is to be called Die Harder. Play on the words of that famous movie franchise that we will not name at this point. But we should point out that they also have Lyft Comics, which is now available on Peacock, Pluto TV, Tubi, Roku, and Vizio, part of their Laugh Out Loud special network. And we'll find out in a second what else is in their TV hopper shortly. If you have a question or comment for Candace in our remaining moments with her, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And stay tuned a few minutes before the top of the hour. Classic trivia question of the week. We're going for our second weekly winner in a row. Could be you. And if so, you could win the new Shark Week 2021 pocketbook from Discovery, Inc. Shark Week coming up next month. Bigger and better than ever on Discovery Channel and also on Discovery Plus as well. Candace, what's the big picture for you in television with Laugh Out Loud, because you have all these smart TV players to work with, whether it's mega content like Peacock or Discovery Plus or Apple TV Plus or HBO Max, et cetera, but you also have more smart TV streaming services, and now you have these bundles like Tubi. You have smart TV like Roku. They're getting into the original plumbing game or service game. What's your sense of the? What's your sense and Kevin's sense of the big picture, and how it, you know,
yeah,
how you play in it?
Absolutely. Well, I'd say we're excited about all screens. We're a bit platform agnostic, I guess you could say, in terms of we want our content to be everywhere. We work with partners like Peacock, Snapchat, Headspace, and all the ones that you mentioned. So we go from super short form content like we've done for like Snapchat and Headspace. Headspace, we did a program called Meditate With Me that was really fun, and it basically tied comedy with mental wellness and mental health. And we had comedians sort of going through these Headspace meditations and giving us their inner dialogue, which was a lot of fun. So you see us doing things like that. Continuing to expand and build on our OTT platform, we are actively moving into more longer form content, 30 minutes and beyond, with shows like Heart to Heart for Peacock, which is a talk show format with Kevin Hart and some amazing guests that's going to be coming this summer. Then we also have Olympic Highlights with Snoop Dogg, with Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg, which is basically, think of it as a comedic commentary on the most current events coming out of Tokyo for the Olympics. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're also doing a crime clip show with Snoop as well, with panelists, which we're actively in pre-production on. So those are some productions that we're really excited about. Also moving into the animation space, we have several projects set up on the animation front. That we're really, really excited about. That's something that we're jumping into wholeheartedly, really looking to continue expanding and, you know, broadening our reach to our audiences globally. That's really our main priority right now, is continuing to raise the bar in terms of the content we're creating, the way we're creating it, and expanding our reach and how we reach our audiences in terms of connectivity.
Candace, how do you want to raise the bar on, A, Kevin Hart's talk show, and, B, the whole area of animation? Do you want to focus on kids or on adults or on both? What do you see the bar being raised to?
Yeah, when we talk about raising the bar, I think it's about trying new things. Like, and that's one thing that's been great about Kevin is his really open to exploring different passions of his that he likes to see sort of come to life. So shows like Heart to Heart, that was something that was a passion project for him. He wanted to try this sort of talk format. And he jumped in with passion and commitment, and it's been a great process. So I think it's looking at some different areas where we're not currently at and bringing our comedic lens to it, bringing our POV to it, making sure the production value is amazing and that, you know, we're working with really great partners, expanding our reach in terms of the partners that we're working with. And that's both established talent, whether you're in front of the camera or behind the scenes, as well as, you know, emerging talent. Like, that's a big part of our company, is not only fostering the relationships with the super established household names, but it's about finding that untapped talent, which is why shows like Lift Comics mean so much to us. Like, that's not, you know, we take a lot of pride in shows like that because it's about fostering the next generation, the next sort of changing of the guard of the new comedians coming in. And that's a constant part of our business. You know, comedy is about having your finger on the pulse, and that's how we do it.
Mm-hmm. Final question for you, Candace. Where do you think we are going in the world of comedy on television, comedy, dramedy? There's been a lot of very interesting things happening, particularly in the last few months, with shows like Girls 5 Eva, speaking of Peacock, Rutherford Falls, which is showcasing a Native American point of view in a dramedy format. We just had Republic of Sarah that premiered this past Monday night on the CW, which was sort of a Northern Exposure kind of contemporary show that also has some very serious themes, like what if you were to break away from the nation and form your own nation, if you will, how would you do it? What's your sense about in terms of television comedy? What's like the next frontier or next frontiers that you want to get into?
Yeah, you know, as we're looking at moving into the TV space on the scripted side, we are absolutely looking at doing more projects like Die Hard, you know, really moving into the space of more scripted content. Diversity, inclusion is a big part of our brand. It's a big part of us as a company. It's reflective in our company. It's about walking that walk and talking the talk. So, you know, I think one could argue that there's no such thing as a new story, right? Like, it's all just sort of a remake of the next thing and so forth, right? But what I would say is it's looking at different stories, looking for new stories wherever possible, and trying to bring our POV to the table and, you know, moving more into that scripted space while doing it and exploring different facets of comedy. You know, from the traditional stuff, you know, we're big fans of sketch, our live stand-up specials, unscripted. But on the scripted side, we are looking for stories currently. We're working with collaborators and open to talking to new collaborators, looking at new narratives. You know, new funny narratives, new perspectives. But the key is about we lean more into authentic voices and are looking for the uniqueness there. Like, that's what stands out. Like, those are the things that we're not looking for the next, you know, if a show is being done currently and they're doing a good job, we're not trying to do the next version of that. We're trying to, you know, do something special. So that's a big goal of ours, and we're working on it currently.
Mm-hmm. Again, the current series that you can find from Laugh Out Loud is Lift Comics, and you can find it on Peacock, Pluto TV, Tubi, Roku, Vizio, other smart TV sets, device, and streaming services. And on Roku, you can also catch Die Hard, which will be going to a second season as Die Harder. And we hope to hopefully maybe come back to that when that second season is ready to go. And that will be on Roku as part of their Roku Originals project. For all the details about what TV is up to in the world of Kevin Hart and Laugh Out Loud, go online to laughoutloud.com. It's laughoutloud.com. And once again, Lift Comics currently playing all sorts of smart TV places, TV sets, streaming services, and connected devices. Candace Wilson-Cherry, thank you very much for coming on. It's been a pleasure to have you all the way. You're welcome back anytime. And, yeah, bring Kevin along if you like.
You got it. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me, and be sure to check out Lift Comics.
You're very welcome, Candace. Will do. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Candace Wilson-Cherry joining us live from Los Angeles. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. If you're first with the correct answer, you'll be our second weekly winner in a row, and you will win the brand new Shark Week 2021 pocketbook. It's orange. It's got lots of sharks all over the place. Great pocketbook. Nice to carry, nice to have with you anytime, and of course it's from Discovery, Inc., whose latest edition of Shark Week will be happening next month, not only on the Discovery Channel, but also as part of Discovery Plus. Here's the question that we introduced earlier in the week. Who played the police commander on the award-winning series of the 1990s on NBC, Homicide, Life on the Street? Who played the police commander on Homicide, Life on the Street? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your mailing address. First with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in, so do so. And all the very best. We have time before we wrap things up at the bottom of the hour. We'll repeat the question one more time, okay? Okay. Coming up next, it's been a long while since we've had a scripted drama about life in the circus. We may be soon to getting one, and it's coming from a very unusual source, a short subject that is playing this week here in New York at the 20th annual Tribeca Film Festival, one of the first in-person events since the coronavirus pandemic has been lifted here in New York City and New York State. You'll meet the creative producer and editor of this project, Alex Nell. She'll join me from Brooklyn when we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you like Zydeco, if you like blues, well, there is a Blog Talk Radio show for you. It's Zydeco and Blues Show. Check it out tonight, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 in Pacific, the Zydeco and Blues Show, two great musical forums in one show. And it's all here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of this 90-minute Wednesday special of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. Well, news, you're just joining us at the top of the hour. It's been a great show so far, and we got one more terrific half hour coming your way. 76 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our final guest of this day, give us a call wherever you are, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, or catch us across the country or around the globe on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker and Tuner Radio. And you can join our chat room. Pine Needle is still in the room with us, so go for it. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, while the show is on the air, connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Go to the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Speaker Tune and Stream. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Got a question for you. How long has it been since we've had a scripted television drama or comedy about life in the circus? Would you believe that you might have to go back to the mid-1960s to see one? I'm serious. That's right. Back in the 50s, by the way, we had shows like Frontier Circus. We also had Circus Boy that ran two seasons. Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees came out of that show when he was a wee youngster, Mickey Braddock. And there was also a show called The Greatest Show on Earth starring Jack Palance that was actually produced by Desi Lu in cooperation with Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus. Ran a year in the 60s on ABC. Lucille Ball, by the way, was in an episode which you can find on YouTube. Well, that may be how long it's been since we've had a drama about life in the circus. Well, that wait, that drought, if you will, may soon be coming to an end. Because this week, a short subject that is being screened at the Tribeca Film Festival, year 20, first in person in 2 years, by the way, going on until Sunday, is now being developed by FX Productions. That's the original production unit of FX, the cable network. And it's called Circus Person. And joining us live to talk about it is the program's creative producer and editor, Alex Nell, joining us from my favorite place, Brooklyn, New York. Alex, welcome in.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It is a pleasure. We're excited to have you as well. You know, it really is amazing to me. Is it amazing to you that, you know, it's been way too long since we've had a topic like the circus be the possible inspiration for a television series, scripted series?
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for that preface. Yeah, that I never quite framed it that way, but it's true. And there's so much rich material there, and we're really excited to tell this story. Ours is in it's going to take place in a small one-ring circus, a traveling circus. So most folks might be familiar with the big Barnum and Bailey show. That's a three-ring circus, sadly, just folded. But ours takes place in a very DIY, smaller space based on different circuses that our creator had worked with and gotten to know. And we're just so excited to bring the stories of these circus performers to life.
Let's talk about that creator. Creator, writer, I believe, director, star. Who is she? And how long has she been stewing this idea of doing a short subject about circus life?
Yeah, so it's Britt Lauer. She's a fabulous actress. Right now she's shooting a series for Apple Plus called Severance, directed by Ben Stiller with Patricia Arquette and Christopher Walken, Adam Scott. We're super excited for her. And she's been thinking about this story for many years. I think she's envisioned it as a longer format story. We're super excited about FX Productions and where it will go next. But she grew up with a mom who's a face painter, and they spent time traveling to arts festivals, often alongside the free spirits of those arts festivals, many of whom are close to the circus arts. She's from Normal, Illinois, which has a really rich history of trapeze, circus arts, aerial arts. So I think it's been stewing for a long time. We both went to school and studied clowning together, and that's sort of how I came into the picture. And yeah, I think that a story of personal heartbreak that Britt experienced was the launch pad for saying, okay, I'm throwing my heart into this. It's time to make this story happen. And when she shared it with me, I was just so excited and said, I'm game. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. What is the story about, and how long did it take from conception to getting it in the camera to make it happen?
Yeah, so this is a story about Ava. When her fiance leaves her for another woman, Ava decides to heal her heartbreak by trying to write a love letter to that other woman, and also by joining the circus. So the film is really watching that really hard process of healing through an act of emotional bravery. So it's not maybe typical for us to face the new lover of our ex, but this character is heroic in that quest and struggles with her own insecurities of not being as much of a free spirit as this new woman. And so she decides to take care of herself, and instead of being angry at this other woman, she takes inspiration from her to go join the circus and be a wilder, more free self.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did it take?
Yeah, how long did it take? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. So let's see. We shot in October of 2019, and then we started editing. We shot a little more in December. We have sequences that are stop motion animated body paint photographed right on Britt's body, and that we integrated after we edited the live action sequence. We did that in December. And then we were just so lucky to hear from Tribeca in January, and then we prepped for our final delivery to Tribeca in April of 2020. And yes, and here we are. We're so lucky that the festival is now live this year, and we're just thrilled to be here.
And I would guess lucky also that you were able to finish filming before the pandemic.
Yes. And then the sort of bittersweet quiet of the pandemic gave us a lot of time to focus on the edit. The edit was several months of reworking and writing, and, you recreate the film almost in that final stage of editing it all together, weaving the story together. So, it was quite a lucky timing.
Mm-hmm. Because of the theme of life in a circus, was there an effort to cast actors who had performance experience or work experience in circuses, or to cast circus acts or animals in a circus to participate?
Uh-huh. Well, we had no animals. This was an animal-free circus, and we even had the Humane Society join us on set because Ava has a pet fish who she travels to the circus with, who she asks for advice, and that fish was monitored by a representative from the Humane Society on our set. So we're an animal-free circus, but we were just so lucky to have circus performers who make a living working in the circus, doing circus arts for a variety of events, join us, and you'll see them featured in the film. Just really talented, bright, warm-hearted performers, and they absolutely brought the spirit of the story that we're trying to tell to every corner of our film. So we are lucky. Yeah.
The name of the short film is Circus Person. It's playing this week at the 20th Annual Tribeca Film Festival, one of the first in-person events in New York City, now that the pandemic is lifted and all the restrictions gone, hopefully to kingdom come. And we'll talk about a little bit about how Circus Person is being put in development by FX Productions, and maybe it could run on FX or another network. before too long. We're speaking with Alex Nell. She is the creative producer and editor of this short subject. She joins me here in Brooklyn, New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, I've been with you live from New York. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. It's turning out to be an amazing 90-minute episode. And stick around, more to come. And we want you involved in the picture. So why don't you give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name. Once again, our third and final episode of the week coming your way on Friday. We'll check out Strum. It's the new smart TV plumbing service, and one of the investors, the former head of Walt Disney, Michael Eisner, will speak with Chief Executive Officer and co-founder Lorena Villiers and co-founder and Chief Business Officer Paul Pastor. And then from the brand new Disney Plus series premiering next week, The Mysterious Bennet Society, originally supposed to be on Hulu. Then it got moved to Disney Plus. We think this might be a sleeper because of the advance word on it. And we'll talk to the crazy executive producers, Matt Manfredi and Phil Hay. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Candace, what was the toughest part of putting this film together?
Oh, what was the toughest part? I think, you know, it was a super indie project. It came together. We shot in 2.5 days. A lot of people gave their time freely, and you know, you're in one way, you know, you could say the toughest part is feeling like you might not have the resources to make something happen. But in another sense, things started to fall in place for, you know, what we have. Let's see what magic can be made with that. And, you know, Britt really pulled together something awesome out of very little. We had some of our circus performers just, you know, a day ahead of time be like, oh, I have my lira, I have my trapeze or my ring, like, would you like it on set? And that became like the center of our circus camp. And the spirit, you know, that generosity that our whole team and cast came with to the production really solved a lot of the challenges that we faced. I think also in the edit it was interesting because we were using this technique of animated body paint, and in the beginning we knew that we wanted to include it, and a challenge in the edit was figuring out how to make sure it was always in sync with the internal life of our main character. So that was a really fun challenge where at first, Britt had these ideas of, you know, really evocative visuals, and we were sifting through them after we did the live action edit saying, okay, which ones are going to illustrate at the right time how exactly Ava is feeling? And that was a great sort of filmmaker lesson that everything has to serve your main character and keep us watching the emotional journey without sort of a recess from our main character's POV.
Yeah. What is Britt's strength as actress, writer, director, and how do you as the producer and editor, how do you play to those strengths?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Britt has a really stunning and budding career as an actress, and I think that maybe her audience might be less familiar with her voice as an artist. And I've known her at school as a creator for over a decade now. And she's always stood out to me as someone with a really unique voice who's very committed to herself. And that is very magnetic. I'm excited how this project is a great vessel for that. She is a circus person. The term, may it be applied broadly, this sense of a capacity to create wherever you are and be open to be happy in any company, you know, be loving with the people that surround you. And I just think her ideas are super evocative. Her visual language is really strong, and I'm thrilled for her to make this directorial debut. And then as an actress, I would encourage anyone to look at everything she's done. She's really strong and subtle and nuanced, and I'm excited for her big premiere here with Severance. That will be a really cool project.
Where did you film, and did you bring on a consultant from, let's say, a circus in the area to just see that, you know, everything is pretty much kosher, everything is as life in a one-ring circus can be?
Well, so we both have a bit of history working with folks who have worked with the circus. We both studied clowning and aerial arts at Northwestern in Chicago. We studied a bit with 500 Clown, the Actors Gymnasium there in Chicago. There's a rich tradition in Chicago theater of blending the circus arts with theatrical storytelling, and it's something that I studied. I went to Brussels, where there's a really strong dance theater and physical theater community that blends in with the circus world, and so a lot of these folks are our friends, and we know that world intimately. And at the same time, Britt did some research following the last precious one-ring circuses that travel this country. And she went to visit the circus that's featured in our film up in Mill Valley. And that was a great process of, okay, like, this is how it operates, this is how hard it is. So you'll see in our film, when our main character is building a circus tent, that was actual, like, documentary footage of the actual small circus building this tent. And these are all the performers. So these are trapeze artists and these graceful athletes also doing all the manual labor, also doing the box office. And so we tried to get as gritty and real of a portrait of that life as possible. And we only hope to expand that in an authentic way as much as possible in the longer series, which is something that I don't think, like you said earlier, has been done in a while. We want to make sure that it feels we want to be honest about the trials and how challenging that life can be. It's not a fantasy behind the scenes, you know, when the tent goes down.
By the way, we're talking Mill Valley. Is that Mill Valley, New York, upstate?
No, in California.
Okay, got it. Mill Valley in California. So let's bring this to the latest scene. How did FX Productions hear about this film, and where do we stand right now in terms of being developed as a series?
Yeah, so we were fortunate to be a part of Tribeca's Creators Market in 2020, and Britt and I pitched an idea for the series on that market and started to develop what that would look like. Britt had written a longer format script earlier that we both sort of coaxed into. We both developed into this series idea where we're living with this one-rig circus and developing those characters more strongly, thinking more about what it means to be emotionally daring, the way that you would do death-defying acts in the circus, and sort of pairing those together. Yeah, with that sort of process of sculpting that under our belt, we've invited a lot of folks to give us feedback on the film, on our 17-minute film. And April Shee, who's with FX Productions, who just is such a strong talent, expressed interest. And we're really jazzed for her and jazzed that she was interested in us. And April and Britt had been friendly collaborators in the past, working on doing workshops around LA. That's pretty much the story. And we're excited. It's going to be a half hour, in the half hour comedy space. And so there's much to do, much to look forward to. We're just excited to expand and grow.
We're speaking with Alex now. She is the creative producer and the editor of Circus Person, which is now in the development at FX Productions for maybe a first ever scripted series about a circus or circus life in a long, long while. We're talking decades. That could be coming soon. to a TV set near you. And if you have a question or comment or mini mix with Alice, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. By the way, on Monday, we have Liza Domnitz, who is one of the key TV organizers of the Tribeca Film Festival, which is going on until Sunday here in New York. If you missed that interview, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Also on Monday, we had one of the key people behind Series Fest 2021. That's the annual TV pilot showcase and much more about the world of television, which will be starting in next week in virtually for the second year in a row out of Denver, Colorado. Randy Kleiner, the co-founder and the chief executive of that venture, was with us also on Monday. So again, you want to check up on our episode Monday, both on Tribeca Film Festival and Series Fest in terms of what they're doing TV-wise. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/televised and get that. For some reason, Alex, call us back. For some reason, you dropped out. So call us back, 646-652-2906, and we'll get you back on for our final few minutes here. Anyway, in the meantime, we do want to let you know that if you want to find out more about Circus Person, there is a website about this short subject. All you got to do is go to circusperson.com. That's circusperson.com. And for more details on all the TV activity going on at the Tribeca Film Festival, go to www.tribecafilm.com. That's www.tribecafilm.com. So, Alex, if you can hear me, call back. We'll get you back on. We have a few more minutes left. And, again, if you want to call with a question for Alex or a comment, just go 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So while we wait for Alex to hopefully come back, want to let you know that this weekend there will be at least a screening of Circus Person and also a special event at Circus Person featuring the cast, and I believe Alex will be part of it. And that will be in Prospect Park in Brooklyn on Saturday, and then there'll be another event either in Brooklyn or Manhattan on Sunday. There'll be a screening as the Tribeca Film Festival wraps up its 20th year and its first in-person event in the last two. So, again, for all those details, go to both circusperson.com and www.tribecafilm.com. And also, Circus Person will be also running at various film and TV festivals for the next few months as well. And circusperson.com can give you all the details on that, too. All right, so hopefully, while we try to get Alex back, let's give that classic trivia question one more time. You could be our second weekly winner in a row, and if you are, you will win the brand-new Shark Week 2021 pocketbook from Discovery, Inc. Shark Week 2021, bigger and better than ever, on Discovery Channel next month, also on Discovery Plus. Here's the question. Who played the police commanding officer on Homicide, Life on the Street? Who played the police station commander on Homicide, Life on the Street? That's the award-winning television series, ran from 1993 to 1999 on NBC. The great ensemble cast included Ned Beatty, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 83. Remember him from his great supporting performances in Deliverance and his Oscar-nominated performance in Network. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get the question, the answer in by the end today, post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. All right, we have Alex back. Alex, talk about the event coming up this weekend that involves Circus Person.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. So we're super excited for the premiere at Tribeca. We are screening at 5 o'clock in the showcase. In the Now Showcase, that's new online work, Showcase A, 5 p.m. in the Brooklyn Metro Tech. We're sold out. We're playing with some other great films. And but if you are in the area, feel free to stop by. There's some stairs in the plaza just around that you could maybe peek in and see the screen. But we're jazzed to be here, to be meeting other filmmakers. And the biggest reward, honestly, is sitting with a crowd and an audience, sharing that experience. Being live is just a treat.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, any word from Britt about how she's doing with Severance, a new series that's being filmed for Apple TV Plus?
Yeah, it's going great. It went really, you know, COVID productions were a whole different beast. Things slowed down. They were super safe. So there were fewer people shooting. And so at a time, so the shooting spread out. She's just wrapping her final scenes now and then running off to the premiere on Sunday. So I don't know when that airs, but they're just wrapping up, and it sounds like it's going to be super fun.
And I believe it'll be later this year, or at the very latest, early 2022, when Severance premieres. And we'll keep you posted about that, and
yes.
And hopefully we will try to see if we can maybe get the creator of that show on a future Tomorrow Be Televised episode. And while we're waiting for Circus Person to get the word from FX Productions, whether we'll go to series, are you working on any projects of your own, TV projects?
Yeah, so I just wrote and directed an episode of True Reviews that'll be on Pulp.com. That's with Rolling Orange Media. This is a series that's a comedy show that recreates Yelp reviews as if they're true crime. So that's pretty fun. And then I'm also appearing in a film by Theo Francocci called Nyctophobic. I play a woman who's afraid of the dark. I'm shooting a sci-fi proof of concept for a series by Danny Scheinman called Augmentation. It's about a dead woman who comes back to life when her wife brings her back with virtual technology. So that's super fun. And then also I'm writing a piece about a woman whose nose grows long when she creates a fake online identity, and she has to deal with that. So lots cooking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A lot in the works. And one more thing I want to say, too, about the Tribeca Film Festival is that when we had Liza Domnitz on our show, she's the key organizer behind the TV side of the festival, we mentioned about the Curators Market, and we hope to have one of the other there are four Tribeca Now pilots that are being shown at the festival, and we hope to have one of those pilots at least on one of our episodes next week, so stay tuned. We don't have it nailed down yet, but we're very close. And we hope to tell you more about that on our episode, hopefully on Friday. Again, the short subject is called Circus People. If you want to know more about the making of the film and also where it stands and other places beside and beyond Tribeca Film Festival, you can see it. Go to circusperson.com. That's circusperson.com. And for more details about all the different TV activity at the Tribeca Film Festival, go to www.tribecafilm.com. www.tribecafilm.com. Alex Nell, thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure all the way. Good luck to you, Brit, and everybody on the success here at the festival. And also, let's hope that next time we talk to you, this becomes a series thanks to FX Productions.
Yes, thanks so much. Fingers crossed. Thanks, Simon. Have a great day.
You too, Alex. Take care.
Cheers.
Alex Nell from Circus Person joining us live from Brooklyn, New York, my favorite part of New York City, because that is where I live. I want to thank all of our guests today for this wonderful 90-minute edition. Boy, we had a lot to talk about. Satter, which could be a universe changer for television, Laugh Out Loud, Kevin Hart's organization, all the TV stuff he's doing, and wrapping it up with Circus Person, which could become maybe one of the newer TV series around and one of the first in a long while scripted dealing with life in the circus. Hope you join me on Friday. We got another great hour at least in store for you. We will have Lauren DeVillier and Paul Pastor, the chief executive officer of VizOff, respectively, of the brand new smart TV plumbing venture, Strum, involving former Walt Disney head Michael Eisner. And then from the brand new Disney Plus series, The Mysterious Bendix Society, that premieres next week, creators and executive producers Matt Manfredi and Phil Hay. Came in today's program. Want to catch up on episodes you missed? Go to our homepage, Blocks of Creative Content Televised. Check out our podcasts all over the place. And if you like what we did today and your thoughts about the world of television, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. We respond when we hear from you. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed here, those of the participants, those of the Block Talk Radio and other distributors of this program, our production associate, Mandolin, Andy Toews, BTR's general manager, Dave Steinberg is head of content, and the co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. Don't forget, it's Prime Day. If you order now, you could get more than half off the month price for the first 4 months of your subscription. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Back on Friday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio, Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iRadio Podcast Network. And let's keep living this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.